John chapter 8, and we're continuing our series in John's Gospel. And we've been looking at the Lord's discourse as he came up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, and he declared himself to be the light of the world. And what we've been looking at in John chapter 8 over these past few weeks are the different things the light has talked about. So we've seen the light's witness and how the Lord talked, the fact that he bare record of himself because of who the Father was and because of where he came from, and that the Father bore witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we saw the light's world, where he said that he was not from this world. Jesus said in verse 21, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Why? Because you are from beneath, and I am from above. So we looked at the light's world, and then last time we looked at the light's word. When they asked him again, who art thou? Even though Christ had plainly showed them who he was, even though Christ had plainly told them who he was, they still wanted more evidence. You know, oftentimes, you know, when I've been witnessing to somebody and you feel like somebody is so close to accepting the Lord and they just won't quite take that last step, and then they kind of say, I understand what you're saying, but... And then they ask you another question and another question and another question. And it's as if you say, well, you've got all the evidence in front of you. You know what you need to do. Just take that step and accept the Lord. And after the Lord had showed them who he was, they still said, who art thou? And Christ's word, again, just tells them exactly who he is. That he's not hidden anything. He spoke plainly. The scriptures tell us that never a man spake like this man. The common, everyday people could understand him. Peter and John were ignorant and unlearned men, but people took note because they'd been with Jesus. So if these ignorant and unlearned men could just simply take Christ at his word, it's incredible how the intelligent people of the day, the religious people of the day, refused to believe who the Lord Jesus Christ was. So that brings us then onto the light's warning. And Christ here gives a warning to these people. It says in verse 30 that when he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we never be in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he that sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and will do, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this time together this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come around your word. We thank you for the privilege that we have of having a copy of the word of God in our hands. But Father, more importantly than just having a copy of your word in our hands, hands. Help us, Lord, to put that word in our heart. Help us to study to show ourselves approved. Help us, Lord, to hide your word within our hearts that we might not sin against you. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Help us, Lord, to apply this word to our lives that people might see something of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Father, help us to be a witness and a testimony in this day and age, Lord, and help us to share the warning that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to these here at the temple. Help us to give that same warning today, that people must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They must repent and believe that he died for their sins. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by him. Help us, Lord, to be that witness and that light today to a lost and dying world, a world that is full of chaos, a world that is full of confusion, a world that at this present time is full of fear. And help us, Lord, to see how the Lord Jesus Christ has set free from all of those things, and help us to pass that message on to others. Lord, whatever the need is here today, may that need be met, and that that you and children be blessed in this place today, knowing that we've met with a wonderful, precious, and holy God. Father, we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 30 there says that many believed on him. Some would even render it to say that many put their faith in him. The phrase suggests faith in the fullest sense, that they cast themselves on him, so to speak. That this was an energetic faith in a person, something to be distinguished from a mere acceptance of statements as being true. So there were people there that day that actually put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say in verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Now that word is different to the other. The word in verse 30, believed on him, means believe in him. The word we have here in verse 31, many then speak Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, that just simply means to believe him. There's a difference between believing in him and believing what he said, and putting your faith and trust, as it were. So the words in verse 31, believed on him, can be rendered just simply believed him, indicating a type of belief inferior to the one in the preceding verse. They believed him, but did not believe in him. And the essential proof of genuine saving faith is soon evident by their continuing in his word. His teaching to some would become the rule of life. To others, it would become antagonistic. To others, there would be a growth in terms of discipleship and continuing in the word. And to continue there means to stay or to abide. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And there were some there that would continue in that word. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Christ sets us free. And that's the incredible thing about the word of God. You know, this word sets us free. There was a time in our life, in our lives, where this word set us free from the bondage of sin. It set us free from the weight of the world. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ye shall know the truth, the Lord said, and the truth will set you free. And that's a powerful statement. You know, we live in a day and age today that the big thing in the world today is fake news. And social media has caused a whole host of nonsense news stories and fake news. And it's difficult today to distinguish fact from fiction. There was a big fuss years ago when, they started editing pictures of people on magazines, you know, and they started, removing, blemishes, and so that the person on front of the magazine was absolutely perfect, and you couldn't tell. You couldn't tell, you know, what was fake and what was real. And we've come to that, if you like, an even greater problem today now, where you literally cannot tell the difference between fake and real news. Well, can I say this? The truth will set you free. Regardless of what the world tells me, I'm just going to stick with the word of God. Regardless of the panic in the world today, I'm just going to stick with the word of God. Regardless of what one news outlet says or another news outlet says, regardless of what agendas, I'm just going to stick with the word of God, because that's what sets us free. There were hundreds of thousands of Christians escaping the North Korea for the South. And this one man, Kim Duk-soo, he is somebody who serves in a Presbyterian hospital in Tigau. And he recounted that in November the 20th, 1950, when the communist troops found him hiding with his father, as they were coming, Kim's dad said to him, "Son, we do not tell a lie to save our lives." Kim's father had pastored the same church for 42 years. He had helped his wife hide their children by covering them with rice bags and dirt. And after 2 days of hiding, Kim uncovered himself. And just then, the communist troops approached the house. Kim and his father ran to the backyard and hid in a cellar. "I told God I would serve him all my life if I got out of the root cellar alive," Kim said. The soldiers found Kim and his father and took them off to a makeshift prison. They were to be executed the next morning. That evening, a captain approached Kim. "Are you a Christian?" he asked. For a fleeting moment, life for a lie seemed the only logical way to go. But the young boy remembered his father's instruction. "I am a Christian," Kim said. The captain drew closer and whispered, "I am a Christian too. I used to be a Sunday school teacher before the war. You must escape tonight. I will help you." And Kim fled that night, having to leave his father under heavy guard, awaiting his eventual death. Kim eventually got to an American army base, and while hanging around there, discovered an organ, began to teach himself to play. An American he remembers only as Captain Shoemaker learned of his musical interest and then ordered him a spinet from the States. And for the next 10 years, Kim played that organ for chapel services at the base. As he's recounting this story, he says, "It's Mother's Day at First Presbyterian in Tigau. A mighty fortress reverberates from 2,000 Korean voices. As he had done for 30 years, Kim plays the organ. I should have been killed after the communists found me, but God sent that Christian guard to help me escape. Kim told the truth, and the truth set him free." Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Without the way, you cannot go. Without the truth, you cannot know. And without the life, you cannot grow. Christ and his truth sets us free, makes us free. So free from what? Well, for a start, we're free from Satan's power and deception. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of Christ, should shine to them. As we've accepted Christ as our Savior, that, if you like, the scales of deception have been removed from our eyes. So Satan's lies don't affect us anymore. Satan's deception doesn't affect us anymore. We've been set free from that because we have the truth of God's word. We've been set free from fear. There's no need to fear anymore. Why? Because we don't face this life alone. We don't face our difficulties alone. We don't face our problems alone. Christ has promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." We've been set free from fear. You know, the world is in an absolute panic over this corona. We were talking about it yesterday in the deacons' meeting over this coronavirus. And I understand, you know, it's a new virus or a new strain of a particular virus, and you know, people are affected by it and people have died from it, and I understand that. But sometimes fear grips a nation to such an extent that people are beside themselves. Can I say this? It'll make no difference to me. If you don't want to shake my hand today because of coronavirus, that's fine. I won't be offended. But it's not going to stop me shaking anybody's hand. If I get coronavirus and I leave this earth, to be absent from the bodies, be present to the Lord. And I've still got payments to make on the house, so therefore somebody else will have to do it. So, win-win. But the point is this, I'm not fearful. No matter what happens in the world, oh yeah, well, you know, this is going on in the Middle East and it could lead to a world war. If it leads to a world war, I know the Lord is in control. You know, we could fear stepping outside our front door every single day. You know, far more people die of far more than this particular virus every single day. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. I know we are scared at certain times in our lives. But Christ has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. Either we trust God or we don't. If somebody said to you, yeah, I got a fantastic wife. She's about 50, 60% faithful. What? So 40% of the time she's unfaithful to you. Yeah, but you know, 60, 60, 70% faithful is, I'll take those odds. You wouldn't be in your right mind to do that. So do we trust God 50-50? Do we trust him 60-40? Do we try and rely upon our own understanding 30% of the time? Or do we trust him? We either trust him or we don't. His truth has set us free. People have tried to deny this word. People have tried to destroy this word. People have tried to alter this word. But this word still stands. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. And guess what? It'll always be true. It'll always be the plumb line. It will always keep us on the straight and narrow. Therefore, the truth will make us free. If you do want to shake my hand, though, there is hand sanitizer out in the foyer for your use as we leave the church. Christ will keep our minds in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him. I'm trying to remember who closed in prayer last week, and I think it was John, and John said, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that's the thing. When our mind is stayed upon the Lord, guess what happens then? When we're focused on him, we're not focused on ourselves. We're not focused on, you know, everything that might seem to be falling apart around us. We're focused on him. You ever look directly at the sun? Remember when your parents used to say to you, whatever you do, don't look at the sun. What a stupid thing to say to children, because what do children do? And then you end up with those two bright spots right in the middle of the night. You're blinking your eyes in, and there's just like flashing lights everywhere. But that's a perfect example. Because when you look directly at the sun, you can't, for a moment, you can't see anything else. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And what happens then? The things of the earth grow strange to them. Why? Because he is a light that shines brighter than the sun. That's why. He'll keep our hearts in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Just look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. During the Second World War, there were two Scotsmen who were captured after parachuting in behind German lines, and they were put in a German prison camp. But these two men, one was put in a British camp and the other one was put in an American camp. And what they would do is they said that information from the outside world was far more important to them even than daily food. And what they would do is the Americans had managed to build a little radio. So these two Scotsmen would meet at the fence every single day and they would communicate, but they would talk in Gaelic. And the Germans could not understand Gaelic. And if you want to know what Gaelic sounds like, I think it's like a Scottish TV channel which plays the rugby sometimes. If you ever listen to their commentaries, if you thought Welsh was bad, Gaelic, Scottish Gaelic is even worse. So these Germans just couldn't understand what they were talking about. And one day over that little radio, it said that the German high command had surrendered and the war was over. So the guy at the American side told his colleague on the British side that the war was over. So the camp was celebrating. They were shouting and singing. They were waving at the guards. They were laughing at the dogs. And when the guards finally heard the news 3 days later that the war was over, they fled the camp, leaving the gates wide open. Now the question is this: when were the prisoners free? At the point that the gates were open, or at the point that they had the news that the war was over. They were freed 3 days before the gates were open. Can I say this to you? The battle is not won yet, but we know it is. We're already free. We've been set free from Satan's deceptions. We've been set free from the snares of the world. We've been set free from the world's lies. We've been set free even from our own fleshy desires. We're free because we're on the winning side, even though we might feel like we're still in the prison camp until we get the glory, even though the gates might not feel open yet. The war's already won. We're on the winning side. Christ shall make you free. And you shall be free indeed. We know the outcome of the battle. Christ said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I'm thankful that we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do nothing of ourselves. But the power doesn't come from us. The strength doesn't come from us. Those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Our strength comes from the Lord. Our help cometh from the Lord. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him in verse 32, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Can I just say this? What a stupid statement. We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Don't they know their history? They just celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, which highlighted the fact that they were freed from bondage and went through the wilderness for 40 years. That's what they've just celebrated. And they turn around and say, we've never been in bondage. That's one of the most ridiculous statements. That's like basically when we're witnessing to somebody and somebody says, you know, I'm a good person, I don't need to be saved. I don't need your religion. I don't need you or God. I'm fine just as I am. That's just a statement of denial. Men don't like to be told that they will be free when they don't recognize the fact that they're in bondage. And I've said this time and time and time again. The hard thing is not getting people saved. The hard thing is getting people lost. That's the difficulty, is for people to see their lost state before they can recognize their need for a Savior. We won't ask for directions until we recognize the fact that we're lost. These Jews proclaimed we're of Abraham's seed. We're not in bondage. And again, that's just a classic example of self-denial, of self-deception, like an ostrich burying its head in the sand, thinking that, you know, everything will go away. It was brilliant when Eve is going to be so happy when she goes to university in September that she doesn't have to listen to all of these cringy illustrations of her when she was little. But when Eve was little, and I don't know if the other kids did this, we used to say, right, we play hide and seek. Eve said, right, I'll go and hide. I said, what are you doing? I'm hiding. You can't see me. I said, but Eve, you're just covering your eyes. Yeah, I know that, but you can't see me now because I'm hiding. And that's what people do when they say, I don't need to be saved. I'm not lost. Who are you to judge me? I'm a good person. Everything will be all right in the end. And all people have done is, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. They can't see the light of the glorious gospel because to them they think they're hiding. That doesn't change the fact. You know, I can turn around and tell you all I'm a millionaire. It doesn't matter how many times I say it, it's not going to change the fact that there's not £1 million in my bank. Just because people convince you or convince themselves that everything's all right, it doesn't alter the outcome. You know, these people could have said, oh, you know, we've never been in bondage. That didn't alter their history. Their whole history had been one of bondage. They were slaves in Egypt. And then what happened? The northern tribe got carried away into Assyria. The southern tribe got carried away into Babylon. So even recently, just, you know, 500, 600, 700 years previous to Christ's discourse with them, they'd only just come back from bondage. Today, people will deny that they're sinners, saying, I'm okay, I'm as good as any other person, I'm a righteous person, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Jesus answered him in verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The Lord is here talking to the Jews who believed in verse 31, those who believed him but didn't actually believe on him. Now they prove that they're not true believers at all. To commit sin here doesn't mean to an isolated act. It means a continuous thing. The Lord is saying that those who commit sin, commit death. It's a continuous act. And when you see a TH, it's a perfect present tense. It's a thing that goes on and on and on and on. You're known by your fruit. And these people were known by the fruit. It wasn't an isolated act, but it was a life living in sin. Those who live in bondage are under the power of Satan. They were saying that they were free men, that we're not in bondage, we are free men. And yet they were under the bondage of Satan. They were under the bondage of sin. They were under Satan's power. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. In verse 35, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. A servant doesn't have a permanent standing in the master's house. At any time, the master could decide to do with him what he chose. Whether that was to sell him on, whether that was to it didn't matter. If the master's fortunes changed, if a dislike was taken or of the slave, marriage, children, personal preference, that master could do whatever he wanted. And that's what happens when people are slave to sin. They think that they are in control. You know, the amount of times perhaps I shouldn't say this, but you know, the amount of times that I used to say, I give up smoking anytime I want. Well, why didn't you then? Why did it take me so long to do it? Because I was a slave to it. But that's what I used to say. I convinced myself, I give up anytime I want. And people say that of a whole host of sins. I can stop doing that whenever I choose. Well, go on, then choose, do it. And they can't, because they're a slave to it. And what they don't realize is that the master, sin, has far more control over them than they do of what they are facing. If the sin, therefore, make you free, you shall be free indeed. In Grecian cities, there was a custom for the son to adopt brothers into the family, to give them a share in the privilege and rights of the family. In the Roman Empire, after the father's death, the son could free the slaves born in the house during the life of the father, and the son could literally, in the father's house, make people free. That's what Christ does. We've been adopted into that family, and Christ sets us free. We're no longer slaves to the world. We're no longer slaves to sin. Sin ought not to have that kind of power and grip over us. Why? Because we've been set free. Sorry for those of you with weak stomachs, but why does a dog return to his vomit? I've never once done that and thought, I'll go back for a bit more. We recognize how gross that is, but we do without sin, not recognizing how gross it is. Oh, let's go back for a bit more. We go back for a bit more. If we could truly see sin for what it was, we wouldn't do it. Why? Because we're not a slave to sin anymore. Because we've been set free from sin. We've been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ has made us free, and we are free indeed. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, the Lord said, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. As far as their physical descent was concerned, yeah, they were a descendant of Abraham. But in their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that just made things worse because they were Abraham's seed. They should have known better. Abraham was a friend of God. But they had no place for the Lord Jesus Christ at all. And he contrasts his father with their father, his word with their deeds. He revealed his origin and they revealed theirs. His father was God, their father was the devil. He revealed God in the manner of life, they revealed the evil one in theirs. Far from being spiritual seeds of Abraham, they were simply spiritual seeds of the devil. Jesus challenges the claim of the Jews that Abraham is their father, because if they truly were seeds of Abraham, then they would have been looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would have rejoiced at the Lord Jesus Christ. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto him, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God, but thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. The Jews were trying to do away with God's messenger. The Lord could see their hearts. He knew what was in their heart. He knew the hatred that they had towards him. Why? Simply because he spoke the truth. People don't always like the truth. Ladies, please, please stop asking us if you look good in a particular outfit, because you put us in such a predicament. Because there is no win-win. We're a dead man whichever way we go. Because if we say, love, you look great, you're wrong then, because you let them go out looking like that. And if you say, love, I'll be honest with you, you look dog rough in that. Do you want to leave that there? So you can't win. Stop asking us those questions. The Jews simply did not like the fact that Christ spoke the truth. Why? Because the truth pierced their hearts. The truth revealed to them who they really were. The truth stripped back all the facade of their lives. The truth stripped back all of the masks that they wore. The truth got to the heart of the matter, that they were simply sinners in need of a Savior. Their past glories didn't count. It didn't matter how many times they went to the temple. It didn't matter how much they gave in terms of giving to the coffers, as it were. It didn't matter. What mattered was what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they rejected him and they hated his truth. He accused them of being the children of the devil. If God were your father, he says in verse 42, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Can I say this? If we are truly his child, we would love him unconditionally. We would want to spend as much time as possible. We would want to know more and more and more about him. We would want to be obedient to him. You know, there came a point in my life as a teenager, I never ever wanted to obey what my parents said. Everything that they said, I would simply want to do the opposite way, just to get under their skin, just because that's the type of vile and vicious and horrendous teenager I was. Difficult to believe, I understand, but that's the truth. But my relationship with my mum and dad is different now because of my relationship with him. And if dad wanted me to do something, I'd want to do it. And I'd want to be obedient to his voice. Why? Because he's my dad. Because I love him and I'd want to be obedient and I'd want to make sure that he was okay and I'd want to make sure that our relationship was right. But that's the same with our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We want to honor him. We want to please him. We want to do what's right. We want to be obedient to his voice. I think we would be deceiving ourselves if we were to turn around and say, you know what, I don't really want to hear those words. Well then, good and faithful. Of course we do. Every single one of us surely would want the Lord to say to us, child, welcome home. Child, well done, good and faithful servant. Child, you fought a good fight. Child, you ran a good race. Child, you were obedient. You stayed on the straight and narrow. You brought glory to my name. You did many great things, not for your honor, not for your glory, but for me. You've done me a great service. I don't want to use the word proud, but you understand what I'm saying. We want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. We don't want to stand before the Lord and the Lord go, could have done better. You know the amount of times I had could have done better on my report card used to bug me senseless. Because I didn't want to do better. Could have done better. So much potential. Do we want the Lord to say that about us when we get the glory? So much potential. Just fell short, you know, not in terms of salvation, but in terms of honoring the Lord. The Lord said to these people, if you were genuine, if you believed on me, you'd keep my commandments. If you believed on me, you'd keep my word. If you believed on me, you'd show a love for the Father. But he loved these people so much, even though he knew their hearts, even though he knew how much they hated him and despised him because of the truth, he loved them unconditionally. He knew that they were just in before the year was out, he knew that they would nail him to the cross the very next Passover. He'd be on the cross of Calvary. And yet he still loved them with an unconditional love. And because he loved them, he told them the truth. But they'd never forgive him for that truth. Instead of embracing him, they rejected him. The devil is a liar. The devil abides not in the truth. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That takes us back beyond the beginning of human life. This takes us back to the time that Lucifer, the son of the morning, the anointed cherub, dwelling in the light of God's presence, entertained rebellion in his heart and fell from heaven. The devil's moral being has been distorted. And he retains much of his former brilliance. He retains much of his former intellect and power and will, but it is warped and twisted so that it is incapable of speaking the truth. God is incapable of telling a lie. The devil is incapable of telling the whole truth. Even when the devil quoted scripture to the Lord Jesus Christ at his temptation, he changed it a little bit. The devil's a liar and the father of it. But the Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. Most people want to hear the truth until it ruffles their feathers. And because I tell you the truth, Jesus said in verse 45, ye believe me not. They had a profession. They believed him. But they didn't have a possession. They did not believe on him. Many today run from the truth, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Instead of obeying the truth, men have created all sorts of ways to solve their own problems. I'm thankful that I know the truth. I know the truth as a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that his truth has set me free, that I'm no longer a slave and in bondage to the lies of the world. And you know what? It doesn't matter what the world says, God's word will always stand. God's word will stand forever. People will come and go. Philosophies will rise and fall. Politicians will be in power and out of power. But God's word will never change and will never ever be done away with. No matter what laws are passed to ban it, no matter what laws are passed to stop us from preaching it, God's word will always stand. This is our plumb line. This is our standard bearer, if you like. This truth will make us free, not just when it comes to salvation, but when it comes to serving our Lord every single day. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that indeed makes us free. Father, we prayed you'd help us to apply this word to our hearts and to our lives. Help us, Lord, to understand this week that you have promised to never leave us and never forsake us. And no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, no matter what the world throws at us, no matter how we're bombarded on every side by the cares and the troubles of this world, help us to recognize the fact that we've been made free. Even though the gates may not be open yet, Lord, from the prison camp, as it were, we're already free because the battle has already been won. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us this week to take encouragement from your word. Help us to take encouragement from your presence in our lives. And help us to take encouragement from the fact that you've promised to give us the strength we need to fight the battle, to run the race, and to walk in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you'd help us in the week ahead to be a witness and a testimony to those around and about us. And if there's anyone listening to these words today that have yet to trust Christ as their Savior, may today be the day that the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ set them free. I pray that they would confess their sins, believe that Christ died upon the cross for them, and simply call upon your name as the only way and hope of salvation. Father, we just pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we sing "Wonderful, Wonderful, Wonderful Story of Love."
Jamie closes in a word of prayer. Thank you, Jamie.